Welcome, listeners. Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. It is just a thrill to have you set your dials to that, and I'm so pleased that you're taking the time out of your busy days to listen to our program. And today we have something that is really topical, very interesting, a little bit serious, but as my guest in the studio says, we can't be dismal all the time, so we will lighten it up every once in a while. As you all know, this show is all about me, so I bring on my friends or something I think is interesting to the listeners. And I may have mentioned in the past, if not, I'm mentioning it again, I am one of the writers for Siouxland Woman magazine, which is a small world story. Years and years ago, when I was associated with the Catholic Globe, the newspaper for the Diocese of Sioux City, we printed the paper up in Vermilion at the Broadcaster Press, and I never lost touch with one of the owners. And as they say, you know, the circle of life, years and years later, Steve Michaels reaches out to me and says, gee, I wish you'd consider writing for us. And I said, yeah, I would love to. Just my stipulation is, please don't ask me to generate anything. Just assign me stuff. And one of the stories he assigned me had to do with Her Health Women's Center. And since I am from Sioux City, I know about Her Health Women's Center. It is here in Sioux City. And the reason I know about it was way back in 1987, we wrote a story in the Catholic Globe about what was then the Alpha Center. And it took its cue from the start of the Greek alphabet with the letter Alpha. It was a counseling center in Sioux City that offered clients a new beginning built on self-esteem. And at that time, Virginia Hamm was director of the Alpha Center. And basically, it was a pregnancy resource center, had about 16 volunteers and counseled youth that were confused maybe about sexuality, women and teens about unplanned pregnancies, and of course, boyfriends or husbands of these women. And from that point in 1987, it grew like Topsy, and then ultimately evolved into Her Health's Women's Center. Well, not only did we write that article, we started a partnership with the Alpha Center in which the founder of this station, Father Harold Cooper, taped pro-life messages. So if you called the phone number for, which is now Her Health, but at that time the Alpha Center, and you pressed like B12, you heard Father Cooper's voice with a pro-life message. And we did that relationship with the Alpha Center for 3 years. I think it was between 1988 and 1991. Is that 3 years? Yes. My executive producer, Ann Reed, is nodding. Yes, that's right, Joanne. That's why we keep her around. So that was a whole bunch of intro into why I have my guest in the studio, Kim Smith. And I interviewed Kim for Siouxland Woman magazine, and she is associated with Her Health Women's Center here in Sioux City. But Kim, why don't we start out, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, thanks you for having me. Like she said, I'm Kim Smith. I am the Director of Healthy Relationships Education at Her Health Women's Center, and I've been on board there since August of last year. And I go into schools and any organization, and I talk about healthy relationships, just the basics, what friendship is, goal setting, decision making, what to do if you're in a tough relationship, things like that, self-esteem. But one of the things that keeps us really busy and that we do a lot of is online safety and talking about domestic minor sex trafficking. But I spend a lot of my time doing assemblies and different presentations about online safety and what that's looking like for our kids these days.
So you've only been associated with them for a year. Prior to that, where did you grow up?
I don't have a from. I was I've moved probably over 40 times in my life. My dad's job moved us constantly. I was the new kid at school 11 times before I graduated. So I'm not very shy. You have to jump right in. But we've been up in Iowa now for about 22 plus years. And we actually were from Spencer, had lived in Spencer for most of that. And I was a children and family ministry director at a good-sized church up in Spencer. And a few years ago, I started looking for something to help our families with online safety. You know, people were either handing their kid a wide-open iPhone because they didn't know what else to do in second grade, or saying, my kid's never going to have a cell phone. And we know how real that is. And so I started looking for materials we could use to help these families. And I came across an organization called Shared Hope International. And they're a nonprofit out of Washington State. And it was started in the late 90s by Linda Smith, no relation. She's a congresswoman, as she was at that time. And she had traveled and seen the child brothels in like India and different places and came back and noticed that it's not just happening overseas, that we had children being trafficked and exploited right here in America. And we needed to do something about that. So Shared Hope works to raise awareness and prevention. We do a lot in that area. We also work in the world of justice. So we're the reason that all states receive grades about how they're doing with trafficking victims. We grade them A through F, and it relates to, you know, their law enforcement, you know, how much knowledge they have, how they treat victims. The word child prostitute should not exist. Children cannot consent to sex. And so how we handle people that are picked up, caught in an arrest or in a sting or something in that says a lot about a state, how they handle people who've gotten into situations, whether by fear, force, coercion, or things like that. And so they do that. And I'd gotten involved with them, ended up leaving my position at the church to volunteer for them full time. And then we ended up moving outside of Sioux City. So a couple of years ago, after I'd been involved in the trafficking part of it for a couple of years, I noticed that the online piece was becoming a huge issue, that we actually had more predators contacting our children and other vulnerable populations online first. You know, instead of fearing the white van or knowing, you know, that kids who are, or even not just kids, but people who are in vulnerable populations, maybe been in foster care, been involved in DHS systems, things like that, they're really easy prey for predators. Well, then we started noticing that our kids are being contacted online by people that they think are friends. And so I started putting a lot of my time and effort into online safety, learning more about it, getting really involved in the world of social media to figure out how it works. And then Her Health found me back in August. They wanted someone to come on board and do their healthy relationship program. And they had never really worked in the world of online safety, and we've noticed that it all works together. If we can get kids to understand what a healthy relationship looks like, then they're not looking for friends in all the wrong places, basically. Mm-hmm. They're not so easily tricked and exploited online.
I think it's interesting that, you know, as I referenced, Her Health Women's Center started out as the Alpha Center and focused a lot on teen pregnancy. So when I interviewed you for the article for Siouxland Woman Magazine, that was the first thing that came to my mind is suddenly, well, how did a pregnancy resource center segue into online safety and healthy relationships? And maybe you could share with the listeners a little bit about that.
Sure. They tease me down there that I'm supposed to work them out of a job. If we could get people to understand what a healthy relationship looks like, understand what at-risk behaviors look like, and maybe help them make better decisions in their lives and give them the right information and the honest information and let them make the best decision for their life. And hopefully we won't have as many people involved in an unintended pregnancy that need so much more help or need us to come alongside them. So when I came, the goal was to start the healthy relationships education. And because I was so heavy into trafficking and online safety as my background, they sent me for more training to sort of even that out. And they realized really quickly that the thing that the topic that gets us into places and gets the ball rolling with conversations is online safety. Because every school that I go into right now, it is a major distraction. The things that are happening online on social media are carried into the classroom. They're being acted out. Things that happen online are being followed into the classroom. Disruptions are happening, hurts are happening, just a lot of distraction for the classroom. So when we go into a school and we can help them, help kids understand what they're doing online and how that can affect their future, how it's affecting their now, but how it can derail their future and help them to make better choices and give them some real information about what's really going on online.
So how did you market this to the schools? Did somebody just send out postcards and say, you know, Kim's available and she can come and talk to you?
Well, we started emailing schools, and then it seemed like everyone has a contact at a school. And every school that we go into, it's been different. Our door opener can be a nurse, a guidance counselor, a teacher, a superintendent, a principal. Every school has a different DNA. They have a different issue going on. But what I've noticed in the schools I've come alongside this past year, every one of them is dealing with problems on social media, online safety, kids participating in dangerous behavior online. And actually, sexting, that is the topic that high school kids tell me is one of the biggest things that they're dealing with their peers. And the other piece of it, dating violence. I had one school that wanted to do an awareness project, and the two topics they would not budge off of were dating violence awareness and online and sexting. Those were the two things they felt like were the biggest issues facing themselves and their peers.
Well, as I mentioned, listeners, this is serious stuff we're talking about, and important that you should be aware of this. And when you reached out to the schools, that you said, you know, there were some of them that really focused on very specific things. Were there others that just said, please come in and help?
Yes, they just said, we don't really know how to come at this. And so when I go into a school, I know what the kids are thinking before I get there. They're thinking, oh, there's this old lady coming in to tell us to get off our phones and go outside and play. That's not it at all. And the other piece that happens a lot is in this world, a lot of people just like to go in and scare kids and then just kind of leave it. And in my mind, when you're going to talk about trafficking or online safety or any tough topic, you not only need to give some of the kids in the room, let's be honest, might need a little fear because they are participating in some very risky behaviors. But a lot of them just don't realize that there are people out there looking for them. You know, I tell people it's not a matter of when your child comes across a predator online. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. There are over 1 million predators online at any given moment actively looking for victims. And so when we go into the school, we tell them that we're not there to tell them to put up their phone and go out and play. We're also not there to scare them unless some of them are dabbling in things that might harm them. But honestly, our goal is to equip them, to come alongside them, and to give them some tools. And the other thing that has started happening is we've noticed my kids are old, so I'm very lucky in that way. But, you know, one day, please God, we'll have grandchildren. So, yes, this is an ongoing issue. But truly, if we don't give kids and their families some tips and tools on how to combat this and how to come at it, we're really missing the boat here. And so one of the things that we talk about is if you're a parent of a middle school or high school kid right now, you know that you're parenting in a world that we have never experienced. We have no frame of reference. Those parents have no frame of reference for what their kids are dealing with technology-wise, why it matters to them so much. And so I'll tell kids that. I said, you guys are the experts in the room. You need to be the voice in your family. You need to help protect your family, your younger siblings. And that helps a lot. If I really, truly, they are the experts in the room. I mean, I'm wearing a watch that I have absolutely no idea what it does. It's really kind of wasted on me, and they find that kind of funny. But it really is. So far, it's a fancy watch, and it tells time, and it tells me when I'm walking in case I'm not aware. So I tell the kids that. You guys are the experts in the room. We need your help. Your family needs your help. And if we can put a younger family member's face on this and explain kind of what's happening to these kids, they'll listen. And we need their voice in this fight. And it is a fight. We are battling for our kids right now. And not to sound like overblown or too dramatic, but we are dealing. Do you have any idea how many apps are out there available to download right now?
Well, I have like 30 on my own phone.
There's well over 1.8 million apps available. Now, they're not all social media. They, you know, we can't buy a taco anymore without an app, right?
This is true. That's exactly one of the apps I have on my phone.
Right. So, but the majority of the activity is taking place through social media. And I know a lot of organizations, when they started fighting this a little bit, they thought they had to know all the apps and how they all work. That ship has sailed. We don't know. You can't do that. It's impossible. I can't send out an email every week to parents of bad app alert. And I try not to call out a lot of apps because any of them can be, you know, it's like the internet. It's neutral. It's what we choose to do with it, good or bad. You know, just like anything else. The apps are the same way. Now, we tell kids, we can agree that an app whose tagline is let's hang out, talk to strangers is probably not a great idea for a middle schooler or a high schooler.
Possibly not even for someone my age.
Exactly. And that's the other thing we talk about. When someone tricks you online, you don't need to feel stupid. These people are clever and they're evil and they're master manipulators. We have adults tricked all the time. I mean, it's constant. You know, we constantly are reading stories about adults who have been tricked by someone online into doing something they wouldn't do. And then add into that, you know, an undeveloped brain because they're kids and the things that happen on there. And it's, you know, it can be a problem. And so teaching our kids to be smarter and more skeptical about it and then to speak up when they see something and help their families understand what's going on. And then we'll also talk to them about how truly their parents don't understand, and not to be not to slam parents or to be divisive in that world. But when you are parenting kids in a world that you've never experienced, how do you even come at this? You know, and so what's starting to happen is we have parents and kids battling about phones, and what we'd like to see happen is conversations. You know, it's not a great solution to just take them off of social media, because they're going to get on there some way. If they don't have their own phone, they will find a way to get on. And so wouldn't it be better to have a conversation with your kids about the things that are happening and telling them that they can come and talk to you when they get in over their head or someone contacts them, and keeping those lines of communication open, giving parents some tools to pay attention to. And some conversation starters is also one of the goals that we have.
And what usually is the reaction when you come into a classroom? Are there a lot of them rolling their eyes? Or is there a difference between how the boys react or how the girls react? Or is that segmented? Or I'm interested in the logistics of that.
Well, I do, like I say, and I'm not just blowing smoke when I say that they are the experts in the room. They really are. I mean, they will come up afterwards and show me things on my watch that I had no idea it did. So it's kind of funny, but... They really do. I mean, hand a kid a device, they will know how to do 15 things with it before I can even find the on button. Mm-hmm. And so we need to respect that. They do get it. This is the world they're going to be living in. Imagine how much more savvy their children are going to be. I mean, just picture this and look what's happening so quickly. So if I can win them over a little bit early by not coming in and telling them to get off their devices and go out and play and give them, permission to be the expert in their home and actually learn from them, they will listen. And they've been very respectful. And every presentation I have, kids will come up if I'm there afterward and tell me a story about someone that has talked to them. They recognize fake profiles on social media way faster than we do. And they shut them down all the time. You know, and I have kids tell me, you know, I'm not looking, like we talk about porn. If your kid is on social media, online at all, you need to have a conversation with them about porn, and you need to do it in such a way that they're not afraid to tell you that they've seen it. Because I have kids tell me, I'm on here doing this, this, and this, not looking for porn or other things, and this pops up. And so this is what I've been doing. I just block it, and I delete it, and I move on. If I tell my parents this came on, they're going to take my phone away.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's not a great solution, because again, they're going to find a way. And I would rather, as a parent, have an open conversation about these things and be glad that my child is coming to me at whatever age and saying, you know, I wasn't looking for this. This keeps popping up. And so this is what I've been doing. You know, maybe you can change a filter on your internet at home to help with that. Maybe it's just continually having conversations. And another thing that happens, there's a lot of fantastic resources out there. One of my favorites is Protect Young Eyes, and he talks in there about, I share his stuff all the time on our Facebook page, and so he talks about parents having conversations with their kids, and parents need to tell their kids what they're afraid of, and say things like, this is what I'm afraid of, this simple, I'm afraid that you're going to come across porn, and it's going to freak you out, it's going to scare you, or it's going to upset you, or you're going to be embarrassed, and you're going to be too afraid to tell me that you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell me that you saw it, because it is going to happen. Parents also, this is the other things that they tell me that they're afraid of. I'm afraid that you're going to be talking to someone online that you think is a friend, and then they're going to ask you for something you don't want to do, and they're going to keep badgering you or manipulating you until you cross some boundaries that you have, and you're too embarrassed to tell me. You're too afraid to tell me because this predator is going to tell you, you know, you've screwed up your life. I own you. Your whole family's going to be ashamed of you. Your youth group's going to be ashamed of you. Your school, you know, I'm going to send this picture. I'm going to send this information about you. Any information they get about kids can be used as leverage. Mm-hmm. And so another way we talk about that is when we talk about younger family members, I'll tell them, you know, what would happen in real life or online if someone went up to your younger family member and they said they knew your name, your siblings' names, your parents' names, even your pets' names, they would think that person was a friend. And these older kids will say, oh, they sure would. I said, well, that's what happens when the things on your social media are not set to private. And when they're not set to private, I can go on your social media, and within minutes, I can tell where you go to school, what sports you like, what your pet's name is, your siblings. You know, and there's nothing wrong with having, like your school sweatshirt on and, you know, whatever sport you like and sharing that with friends and family. The problem is when you don't have things set to private, that is a goldmine of information for a predator to use as leverage, to coerce you into doing things you don't want to do, all those things. They're master manipulators. So we tell people all the time, set your things to private. And with kids, we tell them, you're going to have to show your parents and grandparents how to do this, unless they're really tech savvy.
Right, because I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, years ago, I would tell you that the very people I'm supposed to protect from the internet, and this was a long time ago, because again, my boys are older, those are the very people that I'm asking me to help get back on my bank site after I've locked myself off for the sixth time. So the people I'm protecting from the internet are the people that are rescuing me. So we get it. So, mm-hmm. you know, so we talk about those things, how to set things to private, how to help your family protect itself and all the members of it.
And how usually do the adults react? For instance, the individuals who have brought you into the school?
Most of them are kind of shocked because they're not living on social media. Most of our kids are not real surprised, but the adults are probably shocked and dismayed. Some of them are a little bit aware of it. One of the things I like to do, especially in a school setting, is to go in and talk to the teachers and the administrators and the staff first, because then it's not new information for them. And that way later when we have their students sitting in there, they've already got someone in mind that they're a little concerned about, their online usage, things that they're hearing. I'll go into schools that are having problems with an app where people are putting, you know, vile anonymous things about peers, and you have to get law enforcement involved in that, and it's very hard. So it's nice when we can go in and talk to the adults in the room first, because they're going to notice stuff. The kids' peers are going to notice things first, and then the teachers and people like that will notice things. So what do they do about it? How can they have conversations? There's not just one question you can ask a kid if they're being exploited online or in person. They're not going to – some of them will self-report, but most kids have to be asked multiple times, you know, well, what's going on? You know, is there somebody, you know, bothering you or asking you for things you don't want to do online? And, you know, it's never that simple.
Mm-hmm. Is it just schools that you go into, or could you come into, say, a parish or a church, say perhaps the women's group or the men's group would like to be educated about this kind of thing? Is that an option?
Yes, it's always an option. We speak to any size groups. We're always free. It's a free resource. I'll do large assemblies. I'll go into a Rotary. Any type of organization. I've done MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. I love doing those because they get to grow with it. And if they start having conversations with their kids when they're, I mean, we know 3 and 4 year olds are playing on devices. Yeah. We start having conversations with them at those ages. It's easier for them because they get to grow with it. Because like I said earlier, we have middle school, high school parents that are reacting to a world that's been thrust upon them. Parents of preschoolers and stuff, we've got some great resources for them to teach online etiquette, what to do if someone talks to you. And so one of my young mom friends asked me after I kind of freaked them out, you know, then they hear what's really going on and they want to wrap their kids in bubble wrap. She came up after and she goes, do I tell my 5-year-old all this? And I said, no, it's as simple as you look at him and say, you know how when we're out places and we tell you not to talk to strangers, it's the same thing when you're on a device, you know, on mom's phone or on the tablet that we share or a game. When someone tries to talk to you that you don't know, you come and tell mom and dad right away. And so that's what we tell them. You start with that. And so if we can get it to become normal for parents to be interacting with their kids online, even playing games with them online so that it's normal for them to be in their online life, that would be a great thing. I mean, I wanted to know my kids' friends in person. It needs to become normal for our parents to be online with their kids. Now, I don't love playing video games because this is happening in every type of device, gaming consoles, every one of them, if there's an open chat or anything where you can talk to or play with someone that you don't know, you have an open door for a predator. And so you have to talk to your kids. And I would have said probably 10, 15 years ago that you should have a filter. And I do think you should for accidental exposure to things you don't want your young kids to see. But I'm a big proponent of why. If you don't tell your kids why, you know, this is what's going on and this is why we need to protect you, then they're going to go looking for things and trying to figure this out on their own. So tell them why. Tell them there are people out there that are looking for them that are going to trick them. Kids are always shocked when the person that they're talking to that they think is this person, this picture, is not who they say they are. They're always surprised by that. And so we talk about how they're getting that information. So, for instance, even talking to parents and grandparents about if you're on a social media site and you have all these pictures of your beautiful grandchildren, if you're not set to private, they don't need your name or any of your personal information. They just need those pictures now, because then that predator can steal all your beautiful 14, 13, 15-year-old grandson or daughter's pictures and pretend to be that person and manipulate and trick another kid. So we have to show, you know, grandparents also how to set their things to private so they can protect those pictures. You know, again, it's not wrong to have them on there, but be careful of who's got them. Because kids will tell me, well, I've seen all their pictures. I know they're a real person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sorry, girls, but do we know a girl who doesn't have 1,000 selfies at every holiday or, you know, and so someone can take those and use those and pretend to be, they don't, like I said, they don't even need to know their name. They just need the pictures. It's a new kind of identity theft.
Very, very much so. And again, listeners, so very sobering. So I want you to stay tuned. We have a lot more information with Kim Smith, who is with Her Women's Health. And yeah, this is stuff that it's needed. We need to know this kind of stuff so we can protect our kids, our grandkids, and you know, anyone that we have any love for. So we're going to take a short break. Again, we're going to give a shout out to our underwriters and our sponsors and anybody else, and maybe do some public service announcements. But please, this show is Faith in Action, and that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to show our faith in action. So stay tuned, because we will be right back. Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. Thank you so much for joining us right now, if you are. And if you've been with us from the top of the hour, take some more deep breaths, because we are not done yet. This is an astonishing program. I've always said this is a public affairs program, and that's exactly what we're doing, is we're providing you a public service. And I mentioned at the top of the hour, you know, that we have kind of a relationship with Her Women's Health Center. It started out at the Alpha Center back in 1987, and Father Harold Cooper was, I would say, all in with the Alpha Center at that time, set up a relationship with them. So if you called their phone number and pressed, you know, B12 or whatever on your phone, his voice would come on with a pro-life message. And that was a relationship that he had with them for at least 3 years that I can determine. I kind of Googled the archives of the Catholic Globe newspaper for the Diocese of Sioux City to see, because I vaguely remembered it, and it was real interesting to go back there. So Her Women's Health started out as kind of a pregnancy resource center back in 87, and then over the years, you know, really helped a lot of young women with unplanned pregnancies. And then in 2014, the decision was made to change the name to Her Health Women's Center. And now they are still in Sioux City, and the mission is the first step for anyone facing an unintended pregnancy. But they have segued, as I've said, this show is all about me and what I do and bringing my friends on. So I wrote an article for Siouxland Woman Magazine about the Healthy Relationship Program that they had started. And I was just so fascinated by it all that I asked the person I interviewed, Kim Smith, who is with Her Women's Health, to come on the show and talk about what she does as far as healthy relationships. And we kind of spent the first half of the show really talking about what young people face and what their parents face in this brave new world of social media and the danger it has. And while we were not on the air, we were talking about an article that appeared in the Sioux City Journal about a man that had been arrested. He pretty much had been grooming a young man, and how they met was via, they played games online. And I think a lot of the misconceptions associated, although not all of them, is that a lot of times a trafficker will go after a young woman and take advantage of her. And how innocuous. I'm playing a game. How many kids play games online? Mostly young men. But, you know, when you're playing a game and everything seems to be fine, and next thing you know, it's escalated to a whole new level, and now you're doing sexually inappropriate things. Literally, you know, it's statutory rape. So that article was in the Sioux City Journal, and we were talking about it when we weren't on the air. And again, Kim, What is it? I mean, this seems so shrug of the shoulders. I'm just playing a game, and all of a sudden it escalates to this interaction, this very inappropriate interaction.
Well, you know, it does escalate, but it can be either a short or a long period of time. There's no, like, one formula that works. But what happens is it's a grooming process. And when I say that, I mean that all that information that you have on there, that predator can find out very quickly where your vulnerability is. Because we all want to fit in. We all want to have friends. We all want a relationship. Sometimes we're looking for a romantic one. Maybe we just need a friendship or a mentor, things like that. So this person will be whatever your victim needs them to be, whether it's a romantic relationship, a mentor, a friend, just a listening ear. Sometimes they'll say who they are. A lot of times they'll pretend to be someone else, and they've stolen pictures and information. So if you've got a 15-year-old boy, they'll pretend to be, you know, a 14, 15-year-old girl, and they'll have pictures so they can prove who they are, although those are someone else's pictures they've stolen. So they will become whatever it is. They've found your weak spot, and we all have them. Adults do too. And they'll be that. And so sometimes it's just a period of time. They start to gain your trust. They'll tell you, you know, I get you. Other people don't understand you. We tell people all the time that Shared Hope is the organization that I volunteer for, that I work in the world of trafficking and online safety prevention and awareness. And Shared Hope did an experiment a couple of years ago. We had one of our interns pretend to be a 15-year-old girl, and she went on social media and she said something about, you know, my parents are hard, or my life sucks, or I'm bored.
No one understands me.
Yes, nobody understands me. And within minutes, she was contacted by people she didn't know. And so we tell kids that when you've had a bad day at school and you get on whatever social media you're on and you say, my life sucks, I'm bored, I'm lonely, I hate my parents, within minutes, you will generally be contacted by someone who's going to be that soft space. They're going to be a great listener. And they will say that, oh, I know, I had a tough time. You know, and sometimes they will pretend to be a peer. And sometimes they'll actually pretend to be an adult, you know, that they're trusted and all this. And they'll ask those questions, and they'll try to gain ground with this person by, you know, like I said, when you have all your information out there, what sports you like and all that, they'll say, oh, you play soccer? I played soccer. What a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. It's a lie. Or they'll say this. And so we talk to kids about how they start to establish trust, and then they'll start to even establish secrecy. So, you know, when I talk to kids, I tell them, you know, you have trusted adults in your life for legitimate reasons. But you know that if any of those trusted adults, whether they're coaches or teachers or youth leaders or friends, parents or whatever, that are just mentors to you, anytime an adult wants you to hold a secret for them, that's not a healthy relationship. That's not a relationship you need to be in, and you need to tell someone, whether it's your parents or a different trusted adult. And so these predators online will start to say, you can't tell your parents about us. They wouldn't understand. They won't let you talk to me anymore. You know, and then they become kind of dependent on that relationship. And if you've got a kid, even the most popular kid in school doesn't want to walk in the lunchroom and sit alone. You've got a kid who's having a tough time with friends, a tough season with this or that. Maybe parents are going through a transition or a divorce or different things, or maybe they've moved. I mean, every reason under the sun to make us an easy mark for a predator can be exploited. And they'll start establishing that trust, and then they'll try to get you to hold a secret. And then they will erode your boundaries. And one of the things, I filter this a little bit for when I'm in schools, depending on the age, but honestly, younger and younger is getting targeted. But a lot of times these predators will actually send the child they're talking to, the victim they're grooming, porn really early, because they want to do a few things. They want to shock that kid. They want to see where their boundaries are. Maybe they're already looking at things online they shouldn't be. And they want to know where that kid's at. And a lot of times they'll send it for the shock value, because when we're shocked, we don't always respond correctly. Like maybe it kind of freaks us out and scares us, so we don't opt out. We participate because we don't know what else to do. And if you've been in that relationship for a little while and you think you really want it, particularly if it's a romantic one, we'll do things that we normally wouldn't do to keep that relationship. And they will also badger and wear you down. You know, and so we talk about that too. And so that person, that predator, is going to, you know, push that kid to the limits, and they're going to get them to do something they would have told you a month or a week ago they never would have done. Mm-hmm. And then that predator is going to have a sensitive photo or information or all of the above, and we'll use that against that kid.
And I'm kind of curious, say, you know, my 13-year-old son, which I don't have a 13-year-old son anymore, but, you know, he's developed this relationship, and he thinks it's innocuous. He, you know, it's gaming back and forth, and boom, he does, you know, suddenly get this pornography stuff. And for some reason, probably by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, he comes to me, and he says, I don't even know what to do. What do I do then? I mean, how do you then, you call 911 and say, you're not going to believe this. And, you know, but how do you react then?
Well,
if your child does come to you,
if they've sent something maybe they shouldn't have or whatever, because mm-hmm. That's the other thing we tell kids all the time. Your kids, you're going to do dumb things. You need to be able to tell a trusted adult or your parents, hopefully, that, you know, if you can't tell your parents, So it depends on where the line is. If they've sent something, they need to try to get it. You'll never get it back. And that's what we tell kids all the time. When it's on the internet, you know, you have now clicked on the World Wide Web. You are now a global citizen. Your expectation and right to privacy is very different than it would be in person. Your expectation of law enforcement is very different because law enforcement wants to help. But do you know many law enforcement communities that have a cyber task force? They would be busy with this all the time. So if a criminal act has happened where the, this is another thing that schools actually ask us to talk about. Even if you're a minor and you send an inappropriate, and you sex or send a nude photo of yourself, you've just distributed child pornography. Just the asking an adult who asks for an inappropriate photo, that is a crime. That is a crime just to ask for it. So if you have someone in your life, and that's what we all tell kids, if someone's asking for things you don't want to give them, you need to tell someone, you need to block that person, get a screenshot of it.
Okay.
So we can give it to law enforcement. They can build a case. Another thing that we use a lot is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They're an incredible 800 number. They don't make you feel stupid for calling. They know the questions to ask. And what we've discovered is these predators are getting really smart at layering in friends. And when I say that, one of the things I tell kids over and over and over till they just want to scream is you shouldn't be friends with people online that you don't know in person. You shouldn't, you know, we'll repeat that till they're just sick of it. But these predators are getting smart and they're starting to friend a lot of people in the same group, a lot of your friends, because then it looks like you're a friend of a friend, so you must be okay. And so kids are having to get really smart and do their homework, especially kids that go to schools that maybe have a lot of communities coming into them. Because how do they not know, you know, how do they know whose friend that is? And so we tell them that all the time. Delete those people. Clean up your friend list. If you don't know them in person, you don't need to be their friend online. It's just another protection. But again, if you've, because what's happening is these predators will work sometimes in area. So if you call law enforcement and they can get a report, which they need to, if a crime has been committed, they can ask for a warrant and go to the app and try to get the evidence from an app. So that takes a lot of time. Sometimes it's hard to get and things like that. But we'll discover there's like predators working kind of in an area and they might be sending the same messages to several kids.
Okay.
Because they just send out scripts. If they can get someone to bite, they will. So when you talk about the world of sexting, one of the things that's been happening now as we go into sextortion and like gaming and things like that, you can be playing a game with someone you don't know and you think this is a friend. And I'm telling you, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be days or hours. There's no formula. And they will start asking for something. And depending on the level of vulnerability your child has or the person playing them has or how badly they want to stay in that relationship, they will find themselves doing things they never thought they would do, like sending a picture. Because this person will send a picture, maybe a nude picture of themselves. It's usually not themselves.
Right.
But one they've gotten from some other victim. And then they expect you to respond in kind. And then what we're seeing now is they're asking for money from these kids or they're asking for more content because – we're not even calling it child pornography anymore. It's child sexual abuse materials is becoming the more used phrase because let's call it what it is. So they're asking for more content, whether it's more pictures or video or other things. There's no limit to what they'll ask for. We've had cases, and I share these in schools, of suicides because kids have been talking to someone that they thought they were in a relationship with, and they unfortunately did something dumb and sent a nude of themselves. And then that person that they thought was a romantic relationship is now using that against them, and they're asking for money. There was one case out in Ohio, and a young man, none of his family or friends knew he was talking to someone online, knew that he thought he was in a relationship, and the predator wanted $3,500. And in his immature 15-year-old brain, he thought that was the only solution was to kill himself.
Oh.
And then they find out. And there was another one. I tell these stories at schools. And there was a young man in Texas last year in the spring. And he was talking to someone online, shared a photo. Unfortunately, that person kept ramping up the threats. No one in his family knew that he was talking to someone that he thought he had a relationship with. And he shot and killed himself. I don't know in that case if they were asking for money or more content. That one shocked me because it was 72 hours from the initial contact with the predator to when that young man took his life. This is happening over and over again. There was one just a couple of months ago. The young man sent a picture. The person wanted $5,000. He didn't have it. They dropped it down to $150. I'm like, what price is a person now? They drop it down to $150. He gave that. And then they asked for more. He raided his college fund. He didn't tell his family, and he committed suicide as well. This is happening constantly now. And not to be overly dramatic, but you know our kids are worth more to us than $3,500. And when I said that earlier about the stepping onto a global platform, you know, it's the World Wide Web, and the case in Texas, that family didn't know for a month what happened to their son. And when they finally, the police obviously got involved, they traced it to the Philippines. That's where the trail ends for them. So we have people in other countries, you know, American kids are rich. That's what they think. And they're just sending out scripts to hundreds of kids. You get three or five victims on the string. I mean, they're fishing. You get three or five victims on there and you make, you know, a couple $100. You've had a good week. These predators don't care that they've just destroyed a family. They have no, they're evil. They're evil and manipulative. And so that's why our kids have to understand these people are looking for them. Whether they are just evil and they want more content or they want money, it's business. It's big business. Child sexual abuse materials is big business.
And it's not even at that level. You know, listeners might be thinking to themselves, oh, come on, you know, my kids aren't going to do that kind of thing. But I can tell you, listeners, we had a case actually here in Siouxland in which a high school couple, they were both under the age of 18, were in a romantic relationship, and they were sexually intimate, and for some reason thought it was important to take pictures of some of that. And, you know, they tee-heed and, you know, would send them back and forth over the phone. Well, as things happen when you are in high school, they started to drift apart. And the drifting apart did not go well. And so those pictures were shared to other people.
Yes.
And talk about ruining two lives. I'm not going to get into real specifics, but the young man in particular lost all of his college scholarships.
Yes, the revenge porn piece is becoming a huge distraction in our schools because they do. They think this relationship is going to last forever. And, you know, I tell kids all the time, you can actually go through your whole life without sending a nude. It is possible. And it is really advisable. And I mean, so when I go into high schools and they ask me to talk about what sexting can do for you, so it is illegal. Even if it's your picture and you're a minor, it is still illegal. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see you pay for, you know, we don't want to see you destroy your life for a dumb mistake you make when you're a kid. So if you've done this, you need to tell a trusted adult and let's get this cleaned up now before you head off to college. You cannot go to a college in Iowa, State College, with sex offender by your name.
Right.
You can't live in a dorm. This is, you know, and well, even if that is on your record for a few years, it's always findable. So it never goes away. There are jobs you can never have. And so kids don't understand these decisions they're making at 14, 15, 16 years old have life-altering consequences. And so they need to tell someone. And then we also talk about the fact that there are people who will just send pictures like this. And if you have a wide open phone and you get an airdrop or something else, you've just received material you didn't even ask for. What are you going to do with that? So usually it's enough to delete it. But let's just play this out. Let's say you delete it. It's still there. Let's say your phone has to be taken in as evidence in a cyberbullying case or something. And the police want to, you know, unload everything on there. How are you going to explain this picture? So it's better to tell someone, tell a trusted adult, and let them help you clean it off and get things cleaned up before you do head off to college or to your future career. I'll go into career days and talk to kids, and they all have these big future plans. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing now to safeguard that, to safeguard your online life? Because we know employers are looking not just for things like that. They're looking for things that you've said. I mean, we all live in that world now where they're canceling people for things they said 30 years ago. Kids really need to keep their online life cleaned up and protect their future that way. But yeah, when we hear about the gaming, I know we kind of touched on it. These people will send your kids gaming codes, Amazon gift cards. We tell kids all the time to be a nosy friend. Ask their friends what they're doing online, who they're talking to. And if there's something that doesn't feel right or looks weird, they need to tell a trusted adult.
Okay.
So, you know, ask your friends what they're doing. And if, you know, if they're sending nudes, the kids know at school who's sending nudes.
Mm-hmm.
They know. It's not a secret.
Oh, right. They know more than any of us do.
Yeah. And it's really sad. There's some really great resources out there. One of them that's rather chilling is the video on YouTube called Childhood 2.0. And it's a 90-minute video about what our kids are really facing and what they're dealing with. And kids will tell you, we would all get off social media if everyone would get off. But no one wants to be left out. And girls will tell you that, you know, if you don't send a nude, you're a prude. If you do send a nude, you're a slut or a whore. And they don't get to choose anymore. It's a world that we have no experience with. So how do we navigate this with our kids? And I do think that the best defense is active, engaged parents or other trusted adults in their life that they can go to if they've done something dumb or someone is hurting or exploiting them. They need to tell someone. We need to stop these kids from hurting themselves because someone has told them they owe their life. You don't owe your life for a dumb mistake you make when you're a kid.
Truth.
You don't. And so we talk to parents a lot about how they handle it and how they can remain calm. Mm-hmm. Because this is what a kid's thinking. You know, when they start to drive and we hand them the keys, there's going to be a fender bender. We know that, right?
Right.
So when you go off on a scale of 1 to 10 on a 10 when they dent the car, you know what your child is thinking when they screwed up and did something really dumb like sent a nude or, you know, got involved in that? They're like, they lost it when I dented the car. I can't tell them this. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? And so then they go underground and they won't tell. Or I feel stupid or I'm so ashamed. We need to get kids to understand that if they can't tell their parents or other trusted adults that want to help them and want to help them clean things up so they can have the future they deserve.
Or worse, they take their lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That one just breaks my heart that we see this happening over and over again. So we've got to have conversations with our kids about, you know, these hard subjects.
So someone is listening and they say to themselves, gosh darn it, we need Kim Smith to come in and talk to our school or our parents or anybody. What should they do?
Just reach out to her Health Women's Center. You can go on our website and I have a link on there. You can call us and we speak for free, like I said, all the time. Any size groups, I don't mind if it's just a, you know, living room conversation with people. I'll have people that'll call me and want me to come scare their kids. And I'm like, that's really not my best I'll have a good conversation with you, but I don't like to single out kids. That's just awkward for all of us. But, you know, church groups, any organization, because when we talk about, like, when I got involved with Shared Hope, one of the things they say is the more people that know shrinks the world for evil. The more we shine a light on these things, the harder it is for these predators to operate. And so we need to be talking to things. It needs to be normal to talk to your kids about things that are happening to other people online. And it needs to be a continuing conversation with your kids. And even if you're not a parent, if you've got kids in your life that you mentor or you care about, just having conversations about things that you're reading, things that are happening. I have a lot of things. I have a Her Health Let's Talk Facebook page now.
Oh, okay.
And we try to put things on there. It's new, and I'm not, ironically, I'm not very good at social media.
Well, we already know that from the watch.
I know. So, yeah, it's kind of funny, but they have some great people helping us run that page, and we're sharing tips and resources on there all the time. And you guys have a website that you can put our resource page on?
We absolutely do.
I grow my resource page all the time because Shared Hope and Her Health and myself are firm believers that there's no point in reinventing the wheel. If you have people that are doing it well, let's shout them out and get people using them. A lot of these are free resources on Facebook or other places. A lot have websites. Some have a little subscription to them. But truly, there's some fantastic resources to help parents or trusted adults have conversations with kids at any age. Because we need our kids to get involved in this fight. They need to be fighting for their peers and themselves.
Because as you mentioned previously, those of us who are a little bit more mature, we have no idea what we're looking at or what we're dealing with. And yet all of our kids and our grandkids at this point, they know.
Well, and it is different because if you think about how those of us that are older and those of us that have kids that are grown, the way we interact with social media and online is very different. I'll go on there and find a funny recipe. My boys actually laughed at my page. That's one reason Her Health is doing my page, because I'd have a fun Christmas craft, a dessert, and then 50,000 kids were, and they're like, Mom, your page is just gross. So
stop.
Yeah, and so they're, you know, so we're trying to streamline it on Her Health. But, you know, kids don't understand why their parents don't get it. And it's because, again, we haven't been in this world before. And so when I have kids tell me that they would rather their parents take their vehicle away for a month than their phone, you know we don't get it. Mm. So, you know, I said, well, look how your parents interact with social media. They go on and get a recipe or look at a cat video or this or that. We're talking to people in real life still. We're still socializing in person. We're trying to, you know, but our kids are doing everything on there. Their social life, their homework, their jobs. It's everything. You know, I watch how my kids who are like mid to late 20s, even the way they handle social media is different than what our high school, middle school kids are doing. It's mm-hmm. a tool to them, and they use it to do different, you know, finance or other tools like that. They're not living their whole lives on there either. So this is really new that our middle school, high school kids are, everything is on there. You know, it's not just the phone. It is their whole world. and we don't get it, we don't like it, but we have to try to understand it.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Facebook, which of course is for all of us old people.
We ruined that for the kids a long time ago.
Ruined it, yeah. So it's Instagram now that I believe is more of an appeal for younger kids. And what else? I know I've heard my granddaughters talk about TikTok videos, which I am clueless about.
Snapchat, all those things.
Snapchat,
and all of them. You know, and like I said, when we know that we're now dealing with 1.8 million apps, if we keep going at this rate, in 2 years we'll be dealing with about 1.84 billion apps. So you can't go through and, like, I couldn't email out a bad list of apps every week. So that's why every app that has a public chat thing or something that you need to set to private matters. Roblox is another one that people are contacting children on. Their predators are. I mean, every app that has an open thing. But, like, I'll tell people, even grandparents, you know, ask your grandkids how they made that avatar or what an avatar is, mm-hmm. how they made that Bitmoji and what that is. Make a TikTok video with your family. You know, if we keep just I don't think saying no to everything really works very well. I think trying to understand it and getting involved with it is maybe a better strategy, because it is their world and it's not going away. And so, you know, what if you did a fun TikTok challenge with your grandkids? What fun would that be for them? And ask them to help you make a Bitmoji. I annoy the snot out of my grown sons with my little Bitmoji. It's a little person that looks, I think, like me. She's so much taller and thinner, but looks like me. And I can dress her in their favorite sports teams or their vocations and send it to them and just annoy them, you know, things like that. And so just have fun with them on these things instead of just saying, oh, that's icky. Because what'll happen is I'll ask kids, how many of you have had to rescue your parents or grandkids off of a phone or help them with their phone in the last 6 months? They all raise their hands. I'm like, okay, well, right there, we know you're the expert in the room. And I said, you know, ask your parents and grandparents to get involved with you on these things. Don't keep hiding your online life. You know, try to get them to understand what you're doing on there and why it matters to you. And the same goes for parents and grandparents. Try to understand why this matters so much to your kid and what they're doing. It's not all bad. There are some incredible, I mean, I love seeing friends from my whole life, especially as much as I moved, you know, from my whole world are on Facebook. I enjoy that. It's not all bad. So if we can take the good pieces and protect ourselves from the evil pieces, and, you know, because it's not going away.
No, it is not. And I think especially, you know, coming off the pandemic where we were socially isolated from each other, that may be perhaps even escalated everything just a tad bit more.
It really did. But, you know, and people are blaming a lot of the bad things that are happening right now on the pandemic. But we were seeing an up ramp and, you know, in exploitation online way before COVID. We had started to notice it in gaming and other places. And so we knew that we had to start really reacting to that and getting more proactive. You know, I would much rather prevent something than have to restore someone. Mm-hmm. And so if we can prevent the damage and give them tips and tools to keep themselves safe and help them keep their peers and their family members safe, it's just a way better world.
Absolutely. And that's what we're hoping for, is a way better world. Well, listeners, that kind of wraps up the program for today. I want to thank so much my guest, Kim Smith, who is with Her Women's Health Center here in Sioux City. You can Google Her Women's Health Center, and there is Her Health. Sorry. I'm having just a heck of a time with my allergies and my eyes today. So Her Health Women's Center, honestly, that is who Kim is associated with. And, you know, like she has said continuously through this program, more than happy to come out and talk to any group about so these are serious things that we have to deal with, and we do. We need to be proactive. So, again, Kim, thanks so much for coming on the program. I really appreciate you taking your time to come and share this information with the listeners.
Well, thank you for having me. We would be delighted to come talk to any group or help out any organization that we can. We like to be a resource in our community.
Absolutely. So, again, listeners, that's another Faith in Action show in the can, as we say here in the business. So remember, this show airs every Monday at 9 a.m., not this specific show, but Faith in Action airs every Monday at 9 a.m., replays every Saturday. Again, my allergies are just wreaking havoc on me today. Replays every Saturday at, is it 7:30? It's 7 p.m., and then you can always go to our website, SiouxLandCatholicRadio.com. and click on my picture or the podcasts and then find whatever it is you'd like to listen to. We think that has been a great resource, and we're hearing from a lot of you that you appreciate that and the ability to listen at your convenience. So again, it's been a great show. I have learned so much, and I'm really kind of humbled by all of this information, and I hope you are too. So on behalf of my executive producer, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you that a faithful reaction is always good, but faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening, and God bless.